Desire your prayers for the word to be blessed today. The thoughts that we have on our heart, I'm going to have to say something that Brother Philip said in his message this week, that it was not and it could not be an exhaustive study. I would like to start out with a statement that comes from two different verses from Haggai 1, parts of 13 and 14. I'm combining these two scriptures for this opening statement. And it says, "Then spake the Lord's servant, and the Lord stirred up the spirit of all the remnant of the people." And we all are familiar with the method that pleases the Lord, preaching. The scripture calls it foolishness, and that he chose this to save those that would believe. And I believe that that does mean the lost. But I believe that he is very interested in keeping those that are saved, saved. I often have said to the congregation that we do need to pray for the lost, but we also need to pray for the saved, because we are in perilous times. So therefore, the word of the Lord is preached, and the thought that Brother Marty preached a little message this week, and he brought out some thoughts that I thought were going to be this message. And I said, you know, that's how it is. He'll give some similar messages. He likes for things to be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. So oftentimes he'll give something that is very similar. So some of this is going to be a little similar. So I think about why we hold these meetings. I've been coming to these meetings since I was born, for I was born here in Guthrie. And the Guthrie congregation was my congregation up until I was 18. So this time of the year has always been this in our life. And I think about how that the Lord gives just a little portion of his word to this minister, and he gives it out, and he gives a little portion to another, and then we have the meeting and it's over with, and then it is history. And whether you were here for every service or whether you were here for only some, we have technology now that is so magnificent that many of the words, all of the words nearly, that are spoken across this desk and during this meeting, you can go back at any point in time and re-listen. Isn't that marvelous? We're not going into past history on that, but you and I are a blessed people today. And the word of the Lord can be blessed to us over and over, the same message. So, the types of messages that are given will be from one, I would say, one end of the pole to the other, and all in between. Messages on faith, messages on instruction, and messages on warnings and awakening us and to spiritual needs. And just, there's so many different messages that the Lord desires to be spoken in our ears. And then on the other hand, he wants you and me to stir ourselves. And so we started out with this little thought that the Lord's messenger, it was the Lord that stirred them up. It is the Spirit of the Lord that is to stir us up. And oftentimes, by this point of the meeting, there's a weariness. We're a little tired. And in an afternoon service, it's very easy to be sleepy. And so when I say to the congregation there, when we have all-day meeting, and it might be my turn to preach in the afternoon, I encourage them to stir themselves, to get up and walk if you need to, but to keep awake. I believe the Lord is calling for his people to awake. Amen. Awake. Put on thy strength, O Zion. Awake. I'm thinking about myself, actually, but I wonder if we all don't sort of feel this way, that as we sit in the pews, we've all come here for a reason. We didn't come to be entertained. You didn't have a program when you came in the door that said there was going to be a band that would play to help keep you awake. We are a people that are serious about eternity. And we are serious about God, and we are serious about his word. And so we're not here to play, and we're not here to be entertained at all. We are here for a reason and a purpose, and that is that I might grow in the things of God. I might be challenged. I might be stirred in my spirit. We need to be stirred in this day. So do you connect with the message? Do you try to? Do you focus on it? I remember, and our congregation knows this, I say it a lot, because I refer back to when I was working with the students in school, and I was sitting in a place that I could look at them in their faces, and I knew exactly when their minds were wandering. And so I would say, call them by name, and I would say, draw your mind in. And they would, you know, they'd shake themselves a little bit and start doing their work again. And so I'm going to say that this evening or this afternoon, and that you and I may have to draw our minds in, because we have a tendency for our minds to wander out there. So I personally, when I come to these meetings, I seek the Lord before the meeting, and I will say, Lord, help me to put my whole heart into the meeting. Because why? I want to get my portion. And if you leave this meeting, not per se this service, but this meeting, and you have not gotten your portion, it is no fault but your own. We have to compel ourselves to shut out the world and all of the thoughts of the world, and to focus on what the word of the Lord is saying. Now, the thought that we want to start with is a scripture that Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And I am fully aware of what that scripture means. But I would like for us to think of it in terms of us promoting him, or extolling him, or ascribing him and his attributes, his power, what he stands for. Brother Marty tried to do that for us last night. He tried to encourage us to have faith in who he was and what he was or is. And our thoughts were along those same lines. So I have this first question. Can we lift God too high? Can we lift him higher than what he is? Can we present him greater than what he is? Or who he is? And so my next question is, can we exaggerate the report? You know what it is to exaggerate. Exaggerate simply means to enlarge beyond what is fact. So do we exaggerate who God is, or what he is, or his power? I believe that the answer is no. I believe that the word of the Lord supports the fact that we are unable to truly express his power and greatness. That we try, but we're very feeble in doing so. So yes, I believe that the answer is no. I want to read Romans 11, verses 33 through 36. And it says, "Oh, the depths of his riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out." Have you ever tried to figure God out? How did you figure him out? One scripture says, "Who hath given him counsel?" Well, he is the great God, and his ways are past finding out. And it says, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever." Have you ever thought about that scripture? Have you ever thought about how great God is? Is he greater than what we can really express? Or are we trying to lift him up higher than what he really is? Are we exaggerating the power of God or the attributes of his very nature? Are we exaggerating? Well, I believe we can find that out. There are three words that I would like to use today to define God. And the first word is omnipotence. This word and several other words that can use this prefix, the prefix omni is a word that simply means all and totally. And our God is omnipotent. Potence is the root word. Nipotent is a root word, and it is a word that simply means powerful, great, authority. And so this word is used to describe how God is. He is omnipotent. He is a God with all power. He is the Almighty God. He is supreme and has unlimited power. He is ultimate. He has the ultimate divine authority. So that is a word that opens up our mind a little bit. Is it exaggerated? It is not. We believe that the word of the Lord supports the fact that God has all power in heaven and in earth, and that he is the Almighty God. Thank the Lord. So that's a word that we can use to uplift, lift him up, extol him. We can magnify him with that word alone. He has all power in heaven and in earth. The second term is, or word, is omnipresence. Again, it is a word that has a prefix, which means all. And his presence, it is the quality of being everywhere, present at the same time. Is that an exaggeration? Or do you believe it? Do you trust in it? Because the word says it. Because he can be everywhere in this world at the same time. But is that to make it so large that we cannot claim his holy presence with us individually? Oh, he's a great and a mighty God. He has all authority. He has supreme authority. He has the ultimate and the divine power that can be demonstrated to me personally and to be about the whole world at the same time. Can your mind take that in? Do you want it to be in your mind? We must believe that this is our God, and he's very interested in you and me. The third word is omniscient. Now, the root word here comes from the word science, which the word science carries a definition of knowledge. So you're putting the prefix omni with that, and he has all knowledge. He is all-knowing. He is, and we can add this to it and not take away, we can include he is all-seeing. He is all-hearing. He is all-understanding. I like this word, all. There's no limit. God is God. This is the God, the one true God, the faithful God. And he can be your God, and he can be my God, and he can be the God of someone on the other side of the world at the same time and meet their needs just like he meets my needs. Thank the Lord. So this statement is that he is the Almighty God. He has all ability to be in all places at all times, is all-knowing and all-seeing. I like that. That should encourage our faith, not discourage us, not say, he's too big for me. He's not too big for us. He has lowered his presence to come into our assembly. He is our all in all. Sister Julie sang a song this morning, and I really wanted to go and read some of the words of the song she sang, but the one part that I really got a hold of, his love has no limit. So we can make a new word. If you look in the dictionary, you'll find there are a number of self-defining words that will have the prefix omni. And it will simply mean all of whatever that is. So we could put omni-love and not take away from it, but only add to it, he is all love. His love has no limit, no limit. We have a song that's one of my favorites, and I'm sure it's one of yours too. 484, which is, I love the words of this song, The Love of God. The writer had to have an inspiration of faith in order to pen these words. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. And I feel so inadequate to hardly preach it. It is such a all in all and above all, and it is so great that for this writer then to be able to describe how she saw, or he saw, the love of God, it goes beyond the highest star. The last verse says, could we with ink the ocean fill? Now, we know the oceans. We've studied geography. There's information that tells us how large the oceans of our earth are. And the writer here says, if all of the ocean could be filled with ink, and all of the sky could be made into a parchment, and if every stalk on earth was made into a quill, and then take every man and he would be the scribe. The writer says to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor would the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Is that exaggerated? You know, God is trying his best to open up our understanding of how great his love is for mankind and for you and for me. And oftentimes we limit it in our mind. We don't allow our minds to be expanded to that place of his great, limitless love. Lord, help us. So I leave that thought and I think of God as the creator. What I am desiring for you to receive this afternoon is a picture of his greatness, of his might, his power, of who he is and what he is, and how he wants to be all things to you and me, though we are nothing. But when I do think of him as creator, I think of the whole universe. And what the scripture says, I'm going to just give you one scripture for the sake of time. How that the scripture says that he numbers the stars. He also names the stars. He calls them by name, it says. Psalms 147 and 5, it ends with, great is our Lord and of great power, and his understanding is infinite. Now, there's many other scriptures we could confirm all of this, but we just want to open up our minds just a little bit how great our God is. He's very capable of meeting our needs. As I pass from his creation and think of our earth, our world, that which you and I are familiar with. And then I read that he governs, that he concerns himself with all of the governments of the world. Do you believe that? Yes. Or is it just haphazardly happening? It's not. God is in control. He is the mighty God. And because his word says it, I believe it, that he sets up kings and he takes down kings. He has the power to do it. People may not understand it or realize it. But when you and I go to vote in our elections, and we may have our opinion, the bottom line is God chooses. He sets up our presidents. He takes down our presidents. He is concerned with the United States government as well as all of the governments of the world. It pays you and me to pray for these things, pray for our leaders, because God's concerned about it. So he governs the world. I skip on down to the thought that God is head of the church. Thank the Lord. And I'm going to only give you the scripture that says that the government is on his shoulder. We don't have to go much farther than that. We just need to include that he has power. He is concerned with the body of Christ in the earth, the church of God. He is concerned about it all. And he sets it all in order. He knows how to run it. Thank the Lord. So this is the God of the universe. And he sees and he knows you and me. Have I exaggerated? The word of the Lord does not exaggerate the power of God. The scripture describes you and me as dust. That man was created out of dust. And the word of the Lord said, to dust he will return. And that is our destiny if we leave. When we die, we will go back to dust. And when you think of our humanity, how that the word of the Lord says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are so much higher than your thoughts, and my ways are higher than your ways. Oh, the scripture also says, it is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. Oh, we may feel we are capable of making choices in our life, and yet the truth is, we need this Almighty God to direct our steps, to order our life, to set our lives in order. Oh, thank the Lord. If I give him my life, if I submit my will, if I say, take me and use me. But it all has to do with me taking God's will in my life for him to be that interested in me, to make me what he would want me to be. Thank the Lord. So, I have a scripture now, Isaiah 4 and 22. And it says that he sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants are as grasshoppers. So, you and I are compared to as grasshoppers. We're compared to as dust. In some sense, we're compared to as weak worms of the earth. Well, we may use those things to describe how great God is, how he is so much greater than we are. But yet, there is a scripture that says that he came down to be among us. He became God in the flesh. And he walked among us. And he tasted of life like you and me. Like we. He experienced what mankind felt. And he understands. So he sits on the circle of the earth. And he sees you and me. He sees our humanity. And there is a scripture that says, he is mindful of man. As I thought on this, and I would like to say this, the Lord inspired a lot of these thoughts to me earlier in the week in a different direction. And this morning, he took it and he turned it to this direction. And it makes me think about I was in another state many years ago, and I had a message for the congregation where I was. And I was going to tell them all that they did wrong. And I was nervous about it, but I thought the Lord gave it to me. We do have to be careful about what we think the Lord gives us. As we got down to pray in that service that morning, in a 2-minute period of time, God took the very same scriptures and changed it. And he spoke to me and he said, "You do not see their faithfulness." And I obeyed what the Lord gave, and the response was positive. It challenged the people, and after the message, they got this one. We'd get up and say, "I want this." Taught me a great lesson. For the scripture says for that servant not to preach after the sight of their eyes or the hearing of their ears. So this message now is to be a blessing to each one of you. I'm going to give you some things that the Word of the Lord says. Just going to quote it. Didn't have time to even find the scriptures. "Come boldly to the throne of grace to find help in time of need." This is our God that is so high, so great, so mighty, has all power, sees all things, hears all things, knows all things. Nothing escapes his attention. He knows your thoughts. The scripture says afar off. He knows the intentions of your heart. He knows your purposes. He knows you better than you know yourself. And yet he is so willing. One scripture says his arms are outstretched still. And so he says, "I invite you. Come boldly to the throne of grace to find help in time of your need." And you and I are a needy people. And we may not be in great need today, but we know not what this year will hold. You may find some great needs in your life this year. We don't know what tomorrow holds. But he says, "Come to me." And then he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest." Just as he's very interested in the governments of the world, he concerns himself with the whole governments of the world, with the government of the church. It comes down to you and me individually. Thank the Lord. Oh, he says in one place for us to get acquainted with him. He wants us to know his still, small voice. He wants us to be able to awaken in the night and know he is there and believe he is interested in that thing which has awakened you in the night, that troubles your heart, that is a heartache to you. He's interested.
Yes, he is.
And he says, "You come to me." Did you know that we really can't find a better friend Oh, we can have friends here. And I believe God wants us to be a friend to each other. I believe He wants us to be a help to one another. I know He does. I don't just believe it, I know it. But the ultimate one that can understand your need is God Almighty. The great God Almighty that has all knowledge and all understanding, that is able to see the deepest heartache that you have, the pain in your heart. He can see it. I can't see it. I may feel, I may empathize, I may sympathize, but I want to tell you, He knows how to help in time of need. Another scripture came to my mind. It said, call upon me in the day of trouble. And you know what it says? That scripture is in different places, and it says, I will deliver thee. Another place it says, I will answer thee. And another one says, I will be with thee in trouble. Yes. Who else? He's all over. He's omnipresent. He can be in your presence and be in another one, in their room, in their trouble, all at the same time. He is all powerful. You don't have to wait in line for an audience with Him. You can call upon Him anytime, day or night. We think of one another as being sleepy and tired. Our God does not sleep. Our God does not take a vacation. Our God does not ignore us. He turns His attention toward us in our trouble. Another scripture that came to me was casting all of your cares. I like that word all, and yet it is so hard as a human being to cast all of my cares. I am so prone to cast it and then pick it back up. That's all of us. It's just there. And yet what do? Keep it because we picked it back up the second time. We cast it upon Him again. And again, if necessary, because He says for us to do it. And this is what He said, casting all of your cares upon Him because He cares for you. He cares for me. Thank the Lord. Ephesians is a scripture I want to turn and read. It's the third chapter and verse 20. And we quote it, but I wanted to turn and read it word for word. It says, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. We can only limit Him in our own mind. I believe He's wanting to appear unto us today in His greatness. And yet our words are so feeble to try to convey His greatness. But I believe if we seek Him, we can have faith in His greatness, as Brother Marty preached last night. We can have faith that all of His word is for us. I've only given a little bit. So many promises. Do you believe in the promises? Are they real? Are they exaggerated? Is all of this just a tale? Is it just an exaggerated story? It is not. We have limited God with our feeble words. We can't even really describe Him in His greatness. But it has a little part here that we must include. It says that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. He's a powerful God, and he's able to save to the uttermost. And like was said last night, I believe Brother Philip said it afterwards, has he ever said no to anyone? I won't save you? No. He invites you. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants the world to be his own. He desires it. But those that are his, he wants to do something for us. And it'll be above all that we can ask or think. But it also is partly the power that works in us. And it's the power of salvation. It's the power of his blood. It's the power of his Christ. It's the power of the cross. And when those things are working in us, then he is able to do above what all we could ask or think. I have a song that has been a very special song, and I believe it's special to the saints of God. I want to use it in closing. It's number 37, and it is "How Firm a Foundation." And the words are so powerful. I want to end with this. And the question is said, "How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word." Actually, that's not a question. It's an exclamation point. So he goes on and he says, "What more can he say than to you he hath said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled?" What more can he say? When he hung on the cross, when he gave his life, and the plan was complete, and he didn't call for the angels, and he went all the way, his last words were what? "It is finished." The plan was finished. It was complete. It is for all of time. It will endure the test of time to whatever generation comes, whatever generation goes, ever how long this world lasts, the power of this Almighty God will be here. Thank the Lord. But the writer here has used some of the scriptures to awaken what he wants us to think about in our daily walk with him, in our life. We are a people. The scripture says man is born of a woman and is a few days and is full of trouble. If you're not in trouble today, if you don't have any trouble today, you could tomorrow, or you could next year, or it will come. A test. I want to tell you, God has a tried people. He has a people that are going to be tested, but he has the power to keep you and me in our tests of life. And it says, "Fear not, I am with thee. Oh, be not dismayed. For I am thy God and will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand." Have you ever went before the Lord and said, "Lord, cause me to do your will"? Does he answer those calls, those prayers? If your heart is in it and you want God to cause you to stand, he will do it. Yes. "Upheld by my gracious omnipotent," and there's that word again, all-powerful hand. When through the deep waters I call thee to go, the rivers of sorrow shall not overflow. For I will be with thee, thy trouble to bless, and sanctify to thee thy deepest distress. Is that exaggerated? How many can lift your hand today and say, he has done that for me? He's done it for me. He's upheld me. He has sanctified my deepest distress. When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient. There's that word again, all. His grace is all sufficient. Why do I know that? Because he said in his word, where sin doth abound, what happens to his grace? It much more abounds. So when I sing this song, and it's been an experience in my life, and I've been through some fiery trials, what do you think of in your fiery trials? Maybe you don't think that you're really in a furnace heated up 7 times hotter. Or maybe you do think it, but don't you think of the 3 Hebrew children? Don't you feel like that God was with them in that furnace and that he will be with you in your fiery trials? He will. His grace is all sufficient. It shall be thy supply. The flame shall not harm thee. I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. He has a purpose in everything he brings into our life. And it is for his glory and your good. And he wants you and me to not come to the judgment and be surprised at the dross in our life. He's not that kind of God. He is a God that is faithful to your soul, to your individual personality and individual mannerisms and family traits. All of these things he's interested in. He wants to purge you and purify you and cleanse you and cause you to be a vessel unto glory. Thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. Oh, I want to tell you, don't push back the fire. It's working for something good in your life and in my life. You that have passed through some fires, I would like for you to stop just a moment and maybe think back upon those experiences. Stop and think. Look back. I want you to remember the fire. I want you to remember the trial that you thought you might not survive. I want you to think about it. Was it worth it? Anybody here have their hand that they'd like to say, I wish I'd have never gone through that? I want to tell you, our testimonies most of the time, if not all of the time, is I learned things in that trial I could never have learned any other way. I thank God for my trial. Oh, keep that attitude. Keep your heart tuned toward him. He has only good in mind for you. The last verse says, the soul that on Jesus doth lean for repose, I will not forsake to his foes or desert. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. I thank the Lord that he has tried to enlighten my little feeble mind of his greatness and his great power, that he's able to know everything to help me to make heaven. And his purpose in each of your lives is to help you make heaven. It's his purpose. Pray for me.